Once again, we'd like to turn to the book of 2 Peter, read the same verses that we read this morning, verses 16 through verse 21. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through verse 21. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Again, as we said this morning, we gather from verse 16 that Peter seems to be answering the charge of some who were saying that he and the other apostles in their teaching regarding the second coming of Christ were simply passing on myths and fables. In verses 16 through 18, Peter recalls his personal experience on the Mount of Transfiguration. He says there that in the end of verse 16, "But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." What he's saying is that himself, James, and John were eyewitnesses, personal eyewitnesses of the glory that is going to be manifested when Christ returns. He is saying we got a glimpse of it on the Mount of Transfiguration. He then proceeds in verse 17, 18 to tell of that day. He tells what they heard on that mount that day with their own ears. And then in verse 19, we have a very remarkable statement. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. What he's saying is though we saw him with our own eyes, the glory that is going to be manifest when Jesus Christ returns, and though we heard with our own ears the voice of God, there is something more certain, more absolute than our personal experience, and that is the Word of God. He then goes on to advise them concerning what they ought to do with such. He says again in verse 19, "Whereunto," referring back to the more sure word of prophecy, "ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place." And then he proceeded to refer again to the return of Christ that he referred to back in verse 16. He says, we have this more sure word of prophecy, and we are to give heed unto it until the day dawn. So we want to again put those two thoughts together. We have also a more sure word of prophecy until the day dawn, or until the coming of Jesus Christ. So I want to speak this evening on a more sure word until the day dawn, or until Jesus comes. First of all, again, this morning we put the emphasis upon the return of Jesus Christ. Tonight we want to put the emphasis upon the Word of God that we have until Jesus Christ returns. First of all, notice the Word of God is described in verse 20. He says, knowing this first. Knowing this first. In other words, bearing this steadily in mind has a primary and most important truth. So what he is about to say is something that you and I are to always bear in mind. It is something that we're always to be mindful of. It's something that we're to be absolutely persuaded of. It's something that we are to be persuaded of without any doubt whatsoever. Peter then goes on to describe the origin of the Word of God. He states that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation or disclosure or rendering. He's saying that no part of this book originated with man. No part of this book is the invention of man. Going back to the charge that they were, by presenting the truth of the coming of Christ, that they were, it was a cunningly devised fable. He's saying, no, the Word of God teaches this, and the Word of God is no invention of man. It is not formed from the opinion of man. It is not the mere composition of man. And then he goes on to explain in verse 21, he says, for the prophecy, singular, it is one unit. That is true of the Word of God. It is one unit. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. So what he's saying is the Bible is not the product of man's thinking. The Bible does not emerge from the thinking process of man. That is obvious when you read it. It's very obvious that this did not originate with man's thought process. He's saying that the Word of God is not by the prompting of man. It's not by the suggestion of man. It's not according to the plan of man. He then goes on to describe how the Word of God came into being. Keep in mind verse 19 again, or verse 20, knowing this first. These are truths that we must keep in mind. These are truths that we're always be mindful of. So then he goes on to describe how the Word of God came into being. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God. That is, men set apart by God for this distinct purpose. Holy men of God, men set apart by God, spake as they were moved, as they were carried along, prompted, and influenced by God. By is, a preposition that identifies the agent performing the action. They were moved by the Holy Ghost. And that is the teaching of 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. In other words, all Scripture is God-breathed. It is from God. It is all about God. We see that these men set apart by God with the Holy Spirit in them were under the direction of the Spirit of God. God in the person of the Holy Spirit put into their minds His thoughts. He then guided their pens in writing down or recording those thoughts. So what was communicated to them by God originated with God. Peter is saying this is no fable, this is no myth, this is not something that we have devised. So this book, the Word of God, came from the mind of God via man. So this book is God telling us. It is God speaking to us. And therefore, it is called in Isaiah 5 and verse 24, the Word of the Holy One of Israel. And in Isaiah 40 and verse 8, the Word of our God. In Jeremiah 9 and verse 20, the Word of His mouth. Romans chapter 3 verse 2. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 12. 1 Peter 4 verse 11. The oracles of God. The utterances of God. We see in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, the Word of God. Knowing this first, this is the Word of God. What does that mean? Well, a word is a means of expression. We express our thoughts with a word. This is the Word of God. That means the Bible is the expression of Almighty God. A word is a means of manifestation. It is a presentation. The Bible is the manifestation and the presentation of the mind of God. A word is a means of communication. So the Bible is God communicating to you and I. It is God telling us what we need to know. It is God telling us what God wants us to know. A word is a means of contact. And the Bible, of course, is God's contact with you and I. It is a word of Him. It is the Word of God who cannot lie. God cannot lie. God cannot be mistaken. God cannot be deceived. He said to Ephraim in Hosea 8 and verse 12, I have written to him great things of my law. And that's true today. God has written to us great things. Isaiah 34 and verse 16, it is referred to as the book of the Lord. So the Bible, the Word of God, God inspired men. God put the thoughts, His thoughts, in the minds of men. So it is basically a dictation from God to the various writers. It is the writing of God to us. It is a message originated with God, and it is a message from God to us. Being the Word of God, it's like God. God is eternal. God's Word is eternal. Psalm 119 and verse 89, forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. Someone says, well, I don't agree with the Bible. It's already settled. It's not open for debate. It's not open for opinions. It has been settled in heaven. And even though kings and emperors and nations and institutions have tried to destroy it and are still trying to destroy it, the Bible still stands. We still have it. And we will continue. Man's hatred for the Bible has been and is persistent. It has been and is very determined and relentless. But they have not been able to destroy the Word of God. And it cannot be destroyed. Countries have outlawed the Bible. But it can't be destroyed. It can't be done away with. It's still here. We see every possible effort has and continues to be made to undermine faith in the inspiration and the authority of the Word of God. But it continues on. Again, this is the Word of God. God has all authority. God has authority over you. God has authority over me. God has authority over everything. And if this is His Word, it is authority. No need to argue. What God says is so. Whether you or anyone else agrees with it, does not change the Word of God. Being the Word of God, it is immutable. That is, all of man's attempts to change and alter the Bible, it still remains. It still remains the same. And like God, it is pure. God's Word is pure. It's not defiled. As the Word of God, it's true. Every word of this book is true. The psalmist declared in Psalm 119 and verse 160, "Thy word is true from the beginning." Now we're being told the lie today that there basically is no such thing as truth. Truth is whatever you want to make it. Well, that's nonsense. The word of God is true from the beginning. It still stands as a pillar of unshakable truth. The Word of God is powerful. It's living. Why is it that people get so offended at the Word of God? Because it's powerful. It has an impact. Just hearing it has an impact that makes them uncomfortable. It's powerful. And it's living. So in light of the origin and nature of the book, Peter says, verse 19, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." Jesus, back in Matthew 17, took Peter, James, and John up to the mountain peak. And while he was there, Jesus Christ was transfigured before them. That is, He began to shine, He began to glow, He began to radiate the very essence of God. And Peter, James, and John were eyewitnesses of that occurrence. Peter saw, Peter heard, Peter experienced the events of the transfiguration of Christ. But Peter now says here in 1 Peter 1 verse 19 that God's Word, this book, is more certain, is more absolute than our own human experience. He tells about the transfiguration, he tells about what they saw, he tells about what they heard, and then he says, we have a more sure word. We have something more sure than that. More sure than personal experience. What a wonderful phrase, a more sure word of prophecy. You experience something personally, it becomes unquestionable in your mind. And Peter is saying we have something even more unquestionable than our own personal experience, the Word of God. You experience something personally, it becomes indisputable in your mind. It becomes irrefutable. It becomes undeniable. And Peter is saying, in the Word of God, we have something that is more indisputable, more irrefutable, more undeniable than what we see with our own eyes and hear with our own ears. The Word of God is more sure than human experience. So now we want to make application of this. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Notice the blessing here in verse 19. We have. That is, we hold, we possess, and it's present tense. It's not we had, it's we have. We hold and possess presently. Then the next word he uses is the word also. That simply means in addition to. In addition to what? In addition to our personal experience on that Mount of Transfiguration. For you and I, it's simply in addition to our personal experience. We right now, presently, hold and possess in our hands, in our hearts, a more, greater extent, a more sure, a more certain, a more reliable and trustworthy. We have something more reliable and trustworthy than our own eyes and than our own ears. And it's the Word of God. Your eyes can lie to you, but the Word of God does not lie. This is something more certain than what we see with our own eyes and hear with our own ears. We possess something more powerful, more certain, more glorious than if you and I were taken upon the Mount of Transfiguration and experienced what they experienced. People say today, oh, I wish I could have been there. You have something more glorious. The Word of God. A more sure word of prophecy. Something more powerful than what Peter, James, and John experienced that day. All the blessing of possessing this book. A greater blessing than even being on the Mount of Transfiguration and seeing with your own eyes and hearing with your own ears. With a more sure word of prophecy. It goes on to say there in verse 19 that we do well to take heed. That is, we do well to pay attention to this book. We do well to take notice of this book. We do well to bear in mind what this book says. We do well to consider and to take into account what the Word of God says. We do well to adhere to it. We do well to obey it. And then Peter goes on to state the manner in which we are to do this. The manner in which we are to take heed. How are we to take heed unto the Word of God? Well, he tells us, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as to the same degree or in the same way or in the same manner unto a light. Do well to take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. You're sitting in a dark room and all of a sudden someone brings in a lamp, a flashlight, it has your immediate attention. You can't ignore it. It has your immediate attention. You become alert. So what he's talking about is giving heed to the Word of God. It's just when somebody burst in with a light in a dark room. It is to have your immediate and alert attention. Every single time the Word of God is opened, it is to have our immediate and alert attention. God is speaking, and we are to give immediate attention. We are to be very alert when God speaks. We have in this book a more sure word of prophecy. How long do we have it? Until the day dawn. Until Jesus comes. In this day when so many have been duped with evolutional and humanistic thinking and are spellbound with the philosophies and the ideas and the pursuits and the fantasies of a world that has gone absolutely insane, we have in this book a more sure word of prophecy. And we have it until Jesus comes. That's encouraging. We see in this day when the masses give more heed to and give more regard to the opinions of those who are bent on eliminating and removing God from every aspect of society. People are more apt today to listen to them than they are, thus saith the Lord. And when secularism has dulled man's sense of any moral values whatsoever, we have in this book a more sure word of prophecy until the day dawn or until Jesus comes. Let us not be timid in facing error, in facing the foolishness that is so rampant in the world today. Let us not be timid in speaking the Word of God, because we have something that is more sure, more certain than the most educated of the world. We have the Word of God. Make no apologies for the Word of God. In this day when the masses are crazed with the world system, absolutely consumed and entangled with the affairs of life, and in this day of perversion, in this day of corruption and confusion and upheaval and disorder, in this day when a society is drowning in dysfunction, when people think that dysfunction is the norm, in this day of spiritual degradation, in this day of spiritual bankruptcy, when the masses are frantically trying to fill the void, trying to fill the emptiness, trying to fill the insecurity with that which only increases those things. The world today feels a void. They feel an emptiness. They feel insecure. And they go out and try to fill all that again, in things that only increase the emptiness. But we have in this book a more sure word of prophecy until Jesus comes. Again, the Bible teaches leading up to that day, things are going to get worse and worse. But in spite of that, we have in this book something more certain than anything else, the Word of God. We have in this book, in this day of escalating satanic deception, a more sure word of prophecy until Jesus comes. Read it over and over. We have a more sure word of prophecy until the day dawn. It is like a solid rock in the midst of a desert of shifting sand, the Word of God. We have it. We have it. And until Jesus comes, we have this book. A book that reveals God. A book that reveals the standards of God. Not only is there a God, But that God has standards. And He has revealed those standards in this book. In this book is revealed to us the way to God. This book, of course, instructs us how to live. It's amazing to me. People whose life is a mess, there's nothing, it just ruins everywhere. And they have the audacity to give advice. And then people are ignorant enough to listen to it. I mean, it's amazing. It just shows you that this world has gone crazy. It's an insane place. We have the Word of God. And it is certain. It is sure. We can stand upon it. And we can take this book and take it to the most messed up lives that you've ever seen and declare unto them, "Thus saith the Lord." Would you listen? "Thus saith the Lord." And if they would listen, if they would take heed to what God says, but they have the audacity to say, "Well, I don't agree with that." Well, look at your life. Open your eyes. Look at the chaos and the dysfunction in your life, and you have the audacity to say you don't agree. The world has lost its mind. They've gone crazy. But it's good that we have today the Word of God. And because we have the Word of God, it serves as a preventive of our lives becoming ruins in devastation. The Word of God. People ruin their lives. They ruin their children's lives. And then they say, I don't want to hear what God has to say. There's something wrong with that. But instead, they'll go listen to their neighbor whose life's even more mess than theirs. Well, he says I should do this. Open your eyes. Look at his life. Look at his life. But you take heed to the Word of God. As unto a light that shineth in a dark place. And the Word of God does shine as a light in a dark place. But something else about a light that shines in a dark place, it can be irritating. It can be irritating. You're sitting in a dark room, someone comes in with a light and just keeps on shining it at you. You can get irritated. And the Word of God irritates a lot of folks. That's just the nature of the Word of God. And it shows you the nature of man. Again, we see here that Peter says in verse 16, we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. And then in verse 19, but we have a more sure word of prophecy. As reliable as Peter's experience was, this book is more reliable. This book is more reliable than our own personal experience. More reliable than what we see. More reliable than what we hear. It is more real. It is more real than our own personal experience. So what does all this say to us? Well, if the Word of God is more reliable, more real than our personal experience, seems to me that we should not be guided by our own experience. Nor are we to even live based upon our own experiences or opinions. Because there's something even more certain than that. And that's the Word of God. And that is what we are to base our life upon. The Word of God. In this day when most, again, give more weight to their personal experience than they do the Word of God. Give more weight to their twisted opinions than they do the Word of God. Give more weight to their emotions. How many people, you tell them what God's Word says and they'll say, well, I feel. What they're saying is, my emotions tell me more. Don't give more weight to personal experiences or personal opinions or emotions than the Word of God. The Word of God has authority over our experience. The Word of God has authority over our opinions. The Word of God has authority over our emotions. That's what we're to base our life upon. The Word of God. So it says here in closing, we have a more sure word of prophecy. We possess it. You and I that are saved here tonight, we hold in our hands the Word of God. The very Word of God. Knowing this first, you must be absolutely 100% convinced this is the Word of God. This is the Word of God. You've got to be convinced of that. Knowing this first, we have. We possess the Word of God. But there's something we most of us tonight carried in. A Bible. We came into this building, we carried in a Bible. We possess it. There's something even greater than that. There's something even more important than that. And that is for the Word of God to carry us in. That the Word of God possess us. We need to be a people. We are a people that possess the Word of God. But more importantly, we need to be a people possessed by the Word of God. That is, we are moved. We are moved along by the Word of God. The world is not going to convince me or you that certain sinful lifestyles or whatever is acceptable. It's not going to happen. They're not going to convince us. And here's why. We have something more certain than their opinions. We have something more certain than public perception. We have something more certain than public acceptance. We have the Word of God. You're not going to convince, the world is not going to convince me that this isn't the Word of God, because God has already convinced me that it is. So I can't be convinced the other way. Because there came a day when God convinced me that this is the Word of God. And we possess it today. What a blessing. We are to treat it with the utmost respect. The Word of God. Treat it with respect. That is, the way we listen to it, the way we read it, even the way we handle it, the way we set it down. It's the Word of God. And we are blessed people that we possess it. And you see, the world, the government, they can come in and they can take these books out of our possession. But they can't take the Word of God that's in our hearts and in our minds. They can't do it. Can't be done. And it's been proven all through world history that even though Bibles are confiscated and burned and destroyed, they're still abundant. They're everywhere. You can't destroy it. It can't be destroyed. And it's settled. So again, we ought not be timid. We ought to be courageous and standing up and saying, thus saith the Lord. This is what God says. And most people aren't going to want to hear it, but tell it anyway. This is what God says. You take it or leave it. You agree with it or disagree with it. But this is what God says. This is how it is to be done. And though we live in a world that does not want to hear what God's Word says, it's political suicide today for a politician to open the Word of God and declare truth out of the Word of God. I would love to see, I've said this before, I would love to see a politician come to a debate with this book and just open it up. It'll never happen because it's political suicide. But we can do that. Everywhere we go, this is what it says. So how thankful we ought to be that yes, times are going to get more and more and more difficult, but we have something in the Word of God that will get us through. We have something that will keep us from wavering or leaving the path of righteousness. Doesn't make us, because we possess the Word of God, that doesn't make us better than anyone else. But it makes us blessed. I have the Word of God. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song.